All right. Well, I want to welcome you again. Please keep eating. We're just going to get started. I want to be really mindful of your time this evening and not keep you unnecessarily. I'm Joan Hostreiter. I'm the Elementary Faith Formation Coordinator. And as you might notice, my faithful sidekick, Miss Molly, is absent today. She, in fact, is taking her son to college. So it's been an emotional time. And he's starting at Sam Houston State in Huntsville. So they left yesterday, and I've been getting little updates. But please keep them in your prayers. It's her first to go off to college. So, and then my daughter gets married in early September. So we're going to just pinch hit. You get me this week and then before CCE begins. That's why we pushed back this year. Any of you who are returnees, you might realize we're starting a little later than normal. Well, it's because of me. But that's okay. So welcome, welcome. We're so excited to have you here. I can't even begin to tell you the depths of the ups and downs this summer, trying to secure wonderful adults to facilitate these classes. And right up to the last minute, literally in the last 2 to 3 days, we've been getting wonderful volunteers stepping up, allowing us to place all the children that we have. We thought we were going to have to transfer some to home study. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your commitment, your trust in us, and more than anything, your servant hearts for being willing to do this. It's a beautiful, beautiful ministry. And I know, how many of you are returners? I was going to say old timers, but that would be offensive to me. So yeah, so there's every year we probably have maybe 20 to 25, maybe even 30 return, and then we get a new crew every single year. So it's really beautiful to be able to kind of spread ourselves around, okay? So again, welcome to the team. I want to, Miss Dr. Christine Hernandez, I wanted to introduce our Director of Faith Formation, Dr. Christine.
Hello, everybody. I just want to say a quick word. Thank you. Just thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for stepping up again if you're returning or newly if this is your first time being a catechist or first time here at St. Lawrence. Like Joan said, every church at this time of the year is knocking on doors, picking up the phone, asking for people to give of their time and talent. And you are doing that. And to me, and I'm sure Joan will speak a little bit to our theme, is let the church say amen. This is your amen. And the kids will see it.
Amen.
Amen is right. The kids will see it. You will feel it. You will know it in the deepest parts of your hearts. And we feel that too. So thank you for you, your time and talent, and the commitment you're giving. It makes the world of difference, and we see you. So thank you very much.
And thank you for your wonderful direction and your commitment to all the... Christine's responsible for faith formation from little bitty all the way through adults. So she's got a very big responsibility here at the parish, and we're very grateful to have her in our corner. Okay. So you all have really jumped in to be partners, hopefully, with the parents of the children that we serve. If you have no history about the program, we have Tuesday and Wednesday sessions. Doesn't mean you come both days. That's the good news, right? I have some parents who are like, oh, we're going to miss on Tuesday. Can we just come Wednesday and see our teacher? I'm like, no. That's why we need, you know, teams, separate teams for both days. Our Wednesday session is by far twice the size of our Tuesday session. So where we might have two second grade classes, two fourth grade classes on Tuesday, we've got four on Wednesdays. So once we get started and we start meeting in this room, you'll see the difference between a Tuesday session, maybe 120 kids, and a Wednesday session when there's probably close to 275 plus the catechist. We cover the entire room and it's a little crazy and rowdy, okay? So that's kind of how we work. We pretty much go on a calendar year. We will be starting September 16th and 17th this year. As I said, I'll be out for a week, and that gives you all a break, gives the kids a break, too, to kind of get ready to start coming back to faith formation. And I don't want you to underestimate your impact that you can have. I hear stories every single year. One of the things that we do throughout the year is we get into safe environment issues for the children. We have a curriculum called the Circle of Grace, which we're obligated to teach every year. And throughout that process, kids are identifying trusted adults. Okay, it's no surprise. This world is crazy, right? And sometimes our kids don't know who to turn to if they have a concern or a problem. And you all are in a position to be a trusted adult for them. I mean, usually it's their parents and maybe a grandparent or an aunt and uncle. But you also can be those people in their lives. They're going to look up to you. And so let's go ahead. I'm going to make you stand up. And we're going to open up with a song. If you've not been with us previously, this is your permission to be silly, okay? It's for you to connect with the kids. This is a song that we will start CCE with every week, and we'll invite the students to sing along. The words will be up here. So just for, I have decided to follow Jesus. The hand motion is I have decided to follow Jesus. Does anybody know the sign in sign language for Jesus? Right? Okay. That's it. You can even do it. Okay. All right. So let's get started. And we always start in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Familiar with how we
worship and praise at Mass. Up, down, right heel, up, stand, all over. We're going to practice our calisthenics tonight.
I love this picture. So right now you might be wondering, like, what was I thinking? What have I done? Anybody in that situation a little bit? It's okay. True confessions. Yeah. It's okay if you are. I mean, obviously something nudged you, right, to respond to the call. Okay. Was it Catholic guilt? Was it annoying Miss Joan just hounding you throughout the summer months, right? This has been going on since June, y'all. It's like 2.5 months of this. And you might be wondering, like, what in the world was I thinking? Well, that nudge that you got, maybe I helped facilitate it, but that came from the Holy Spirit, okay? Something was laid upon your heart for you to serve in this really special way. Some of you, how many of you actually have children in the program? A lot of you, right? And we depend on you, frankly. Every year we have crews of parents coming in to help facilitate these classes. How many of you have no relation, no children in the program? Okay. These are what I would say are our tried and trues. Right? Because for some reason you've made this your ministry, right? Your love, giving back to the church to help build the church and form missionary disciples. You know, it's no secret. There's a lot of folks out there who have just kind of left their faith by the wayside. And what you're going to see over the course of this evening is how CCE has changed, or CCD, if you're old like me, right? This is not your mother's CCD, okay? It's very different. And I think anybody who's returned to us will see, I've had so many comments from catechists about it's engaging, it's interactive, and we're going to talk about why that is, okay? So you'll be amazed. You're going to learn as much as the kids will. And maybe even more. And we take every opportunity with you as we're sending you our lesson plans every week to help form you as well. Okay? We don't expect you to know everything, but if you pay attention to what's coming, you'll get prepped for the upcoming lesson. And it really is who? Miss Andrea. You're a teacher by training, teacher by profession. Tell me what you think, because I know we've talked about this before. You've come to our catechist showcase. Do you see it easy for somebody without an education background to step into? Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So I don't, you all are super valuable to me. Okay. My program, this mission of ours doesn't serve the children of the parish without adults like you willing to step up to the plate and share your faith with the kids. And so to the extent that I can help you too, I was formed in the late 60s, early 70s. Enough said. I knew the words to Kumbaya. That was about it. Didn't know how to pray the rosary. Didn't know how. Most of all, the rest of that came in my adult life through my time here, frankly, at St. Lawrence Parish, because it's such an amazing parish. And actually, the leadership of Father Drew Wood, I would absolutely praise him for that. So it's going to be fine. You're here because you had a little nudge placed on your heart. And I remember at Life Teen Mass, Father Drew, we were big Life Teen Massers, and maybe you remember this. Father Drew would say, "Why are we here?" Do you remember this? To praise God. How do we do it? With all our hearts, right? What does Jesus say? Treat me right. All right? Okay. All right. He would start every Mass with that. It's as simple as that. That's all we're doing. We're praising God. You're stepping up to be a witness to these children who this may be the only connection that they have with their faith. Unfortunately, people aren't fully integrated. Faith is for Sunday, going to church. It's not fully integrated in their lives. And if you could look at my emails and the number of phone calls and messages I've gotten in the last 2 weeks about our soccer schedules have come out. Can we switch days? It's not a priority, unfortunately. It's another activity. And I'm told that all the time. Well, they have other activities at night. Can we make a change? Or come January, when the new schedules come out for whatever sport comes out in January, is that baseball or something? I don't even know anymore. We have to change classes or we'll drop out. So we always offer them the opportunity to do home study. And frankly, that is probably the best thing for a family. Some of you maybe have even done home study in the past. From my perspective, if every family did home study, the parents are the first and best catechists of their children, the transmitters of faith and the practice of the faith in the home. If every parent took it that seriously and spent that time with their children, you know, they put me out of business, but you know what? That would be okay. All right. Okay. So I wanted to take a look at what we're charged to do as catechists. And this is a really short, quick video, of course, from our beloved Pope Francis. And it's self-explanatory. When you're listening to it, keep in mind the qualities that he says will make you a successful catechist. Okay, and then we're going to talk about that a little bit. Can you see that okay, or do I need to?
Los catequistas tienen una misión insustituible en la transmisión y profundización de la fe. El ministerio laical del catequista es una vocación, es una misión. Ser catequista significa que uno es catequista, no que trabaja de catequista. Es todo un modo de ser. Y hacen falta buenos catequistas que sean a la vez acompañantes y pedagogos. Hacen falta personas creativas que anuncien el Evangelio, pero que lo anuncien, no digo con sordina, pero no con bocina, sino con su vida, con mansedumbre, con un lenguaje nuevo y abriendo caminos nuevos. Y en tantas diócesis, en tantos continentes, la evangelización fundamentalmente está en manos de un catequista. Demos las gracias a los catequistas, a las catequistas, por el entusiasmo interior con que viven esta misión al servicio de la Iglesia. Recemos juntos por los catequistas, llamados a proclamar la palabra de Dios, para que sean testigos de ella con valentía, con creatividad, con la fuerza del Espíritu Santo, con alegría y con mucha paz.
So we're going to take a few minutes. I know you've been chatting through dinner and whatnot, but I'd really like you to think about and maybe introduce yourself to somebody at your table you haven't spoken to yet. What does Pope Francis mean when he says that we are a catechist rather than we work as a catechist? What are some of the qualities that Pope Francis says a catechist should personify? Does anything surprise you about those qualifications? What do you believe that you bring to the table in terms of special gifts or talents that you can offer to the special mission of the church? And then what is your greatest personal hope for this year by answering the call to be a catechist or a class assistant in the CCE program? Okay, so we're going to take, you seem like a chatty crowd. Why don't we take like 7 minutes and chat about that, and then I'll kind of circle back and kind of add to those reflections that you guys are sharing, okay? 7 minutes. Thumbs up if you're ready to move on. Yes? Okay, I think we'll talk a little bit. It sounded like there was some good discussion going on out there. So I guess what I want to jump to, well, actually, it's all important. Why did Pope Francis say that we are a catechist and not working as catechists? What does that say about the mission? Anybody? Yes, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like an interior disposition, really. I mean, I think it is part of who you are, right? Magna, did you want to say something? No? Oh. Okay. Okay. What about the qualities? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen to that. And the church says, amen. One of the things that Pope Francis said was gentleness, right? It's coming in not with a hammer. It's sharing truth. Right? Without judgment. It's meeting people where they're at. Okay? So those are all some of the qualities. On there, did he say you have to have a PhD in theology? No, not at all. It's your living witness, right? Your commitment to practicing the faith, but more importantly than that, your relationship with Christ. Okay? Why is it that you are so excited to be here, right? Because you're on fire. Your life is joyful, right? Because you are living in unity in a relationship with Christ. And that's hard to contain, and we just want to share that with everybody. Who picked up a shirt tonight? Could you hold it up for me, like open it up? So when we first designed these shirts, what does it say on the back? Front, actually, answering the call. When we did that, we got a lot of questions if we were somehow affiliated with The Chosen, the show. Yeah, answering the call. But what you just heard is Pope Francis has elevated the ministry of the catechist. I mean, it's a lay vocation, okay? Everybody has a part to play in the community of the church. And this is a way that you can give back to the church and help, I don't want to say raise up the next generation, but certainly help them understand how faith is relevant in their lives. That's our biggest challenge, right? The so what. And as if we get into this more, you're going to see everything I've done tonight is very intentional. And there are things that I'm a very visual person. So if you look around the room, what do you see? Posters on the wall, right? A prayer table set up, right? So all these things are the tools that we use throughout the course of our lessons, our weekly lessons. Instead of letting the publishing companies dictate to the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston what we're going to present to our children, they've really distilled it and boiled it down. And over the last, it's been 12 years now, came up with a framework, okay? A catechetical framework for lifelong faith formation. And it really started with the littles because for the most part, we have textbooks at our disposal. And once you get into middle and high school, it gets a little bit tougher to find decent resources because they're also spanning the ages of those schools, right? 6th through 8th in middle school and 9th through 12th in high school. For us in elementary, we're pretty structured, like, and I don't want to make it sound like school. That's probably the furthest thing we want for these kids to think of CCE as being. That's why the songs, that's why the engagement, that's why we want to meet them where they're at. It's really about helping them build a relationship with Christ through an encounter with their classmates and with you. And the witness of your life. It sounds like a lot of pressure, but it's not. You're already living your lives, right? in Christ. You're practicing the sacraments. You're going to Mass weekly. You know, all those things. And you can speak to why that's such an important part of your life and how it's made a difference in your life. And that's what our kids need to hear, okay? Pope Francis said catechists are both companions and teachers. A lot of teachable moments, right? You may get off track. If you have a child who's really bright and they bring something up and it kind of, you know, squirrel, it's okay to do that and reel it in and bring it back to, and we're going to talk about it in a little bit, the weekly essential questions. So we've got this framework that was promulgated, meaning it's not a suggestion. It's our directive. It's our mission from Cardinal DiNardo. It's been in place, and what it does is it helps us across parishes and throughout the archdiocese have a very, I'm going to say structured, but any of you who have implemented our lesson plans know that there's a lot of flexibility, a lot of room for creativity, right? We give you a lot of resources, and you can do as much or as little with that, provided you cover the basic content, okay? So Pope Francis said, your companions, so you look at it as people get scared when they hear the word catechist. They think they have to be a theologian, PhD, you know, in theology or liturgy or something. That's not the case. We're really looking more for class facilitators. I think that's a kinder, gentler word and less scary to people, right? Because like I said, kids need trusted adults. They need coaches. They need faith coaches. And we're going to take a quick look at, you know, who the consummate teacher, who do you think the consummate teacher, the master, would be? Jesus, of course, whose example we would want to follow. And that's kind of what we've adopted in the classrooms. So I didn't come from an education background, but I would say that throughout the course of my life, I was poorly formed. I strayed from the church. If you told me 20 years ago I'd be doing this, no. That was not even, I have a finance degree. You know, I was managing portfolios of commercial real estate. I mean, I just never, you know, my husband and I were married in the church. That was important to us, but it wasn't until my son was born that we became more involved. And I'll remember when we first moved to Lake Olympia many years ago and had just built our house, my parents were coming to visit. And Sunday was coming around, right? And I got out the yellow pages. That tells you how long ago it was. Flipping through to see where the nearest Catholic church was. I live off of Highway 6, and there was, Sacred Heart in Manville. Sounds good. We'll go down there. We went to Mass, I don't know, 10, 10:30, whatever. We got in there. It was in Spanish. You can tell by my last name, I am not Hispanic. I took some Spanish in school, but my mom just kind of did this, Yeah, so right, we all have our stories, we all have our backgrounds, we all have our very circuitous routes to how God has called us. And in my life, it turned out to be a very personal tragedy, my husband passing unexpectedly, I had been laid off from my job, and I answered the call to be a classroom assistant. I thought, I can do this. And then they had no catechist. So I was the lead with poor formation. And I will tell you, God put me on a journey. I did FTCM, which is here in the Archdiocese. It's 3 semesters of classes that you can take, very inexpensive. And I remember thinking to myself, where was I when they were teaching this in CCD? Remember, I know the words to Kumbaya, but that's about it. And it just opened up a world for me. I went back to school. I went to St. Mary's at St. Mary's Seminary and got a Master of Arts in Pastoral Studies, and the rest is history. I started out as a volunteer in third grade. Where are my volunteers in third grade? Yeah, I'd like to retire one day. Do you think maybe you might step it up? I don't know. Okay. Anyway, that's my story. We all have a story, right? No one's perfect. We're not perfectly practicing the faith. My kids were raised in the church. They were baptized, first communion, confirmation, went to every Steubenville, all that in this parish. And like many, many parents of young adults, and I'm going to make a confession here, it hurts my heart, but they're not practicing their faith. I have two grandchildren who have not been baptized. And of course, my mother, their great-grandmother, is like, you know we can baptize them. Just go get some water. We can baptize them. I know, Mom. Trust me. I know that we can baptize them. But I've also learned through this job and dealing with other grandparents and having to be talked off the ledge, you know, I planted the seeds, and that's what we're doing with these children, too. We're not God. I pray to St. Monica. I pray to all the saints and angels in heaven that when the time is right, that he will work on their hearts, and that this will be. And then having worked at the church, I understand that my grandson is 3 now. He may decide he wants to do it on his own. What's wrong with OCIA? In fact, that might even be a better option because he could, you know, get his parents excited again about the faith. So I'm just like you guys. I'm struggling with things in the outside world. It's, you know, we're all just meeting people where they're at, loving our families the best as we can, setting the example. That's all I can do, right? And that's all you can do too. Because you will hear things the kids will say, well, we don't go to Mass, especially when January we cover the Ten Commandments. Just wait. You're going to have all kinds of confessions going on in your classroom. And, you know, it's not the child's fault, right, that they're not going to Mass. I joke here. I'm like, yeah, Ms. Jones is going to get her big magic school bus and go pick up all the kids and bring them to Mass. That can't happen. Kids can't drive themselves to church. So you may get discouraged. You may be surprised or not, you know, but you're helping to plant those seeds and living your life as a witness to the joy that it brings you to have this beautiful relationship, right, with Christ. Okay? All right. I probably went on way too long with that, but I did want to show you this brief clip from The Chosen, coincidentally, about how Jesus interacts, how he teaches. And I want you to make note of just whatever observations you make, because obviously we said he is the master teacher.
So what did you do?
I tried to walk away, but he wouldn't stop pushing me. So I pushed him so hard he fell down.
And that's
my
why you were punished. Did you expect something different?
But even Torah says eye for eye. Why should I be punished too?
Yes, but that is for a judge. You are hardly in a court of law. And you, all of you, are to be special. You are to act differently than others.
You tell us to be gentle, but Rabbi Josiah said Messiah would lead us against the Romans, that he would be a great military leader.
It is important to respect your teachers and honor your parents. And Rabbi Josiah is a smart man. But many times, smart men lack wisdom. Is there anything in Scripture that says Messiah will be a great military leader? There are many things about Scripture that you cannot understand yet. Then that is okay. That is fine. You have many years ahead of you. And God does not reveal all things at once. But children, what if many of the things that our people think about how we are to behave and how we are to treat one another are wrong? You want things to be fair. When someone wrongs you, you want to right it. And you know who else loves justice? But what does the Lord say in the law of Moses about justice and vengeance?
Vengeance is mine.
Yes, very good. Very good. Boys, pay attention. She doesn't even go to Torah class, huh? The Lord loves justice. But maybe it is not ours to handle. And God says he will have compassion on his people when... What? Let's see if someone who studies this at school is learning, huh?
when their strength is gone?
Yes, very good. So, maybe we let God provide the justice. Hmm? Maybe we handle these things in a different way. Not trying to be the strongest all the time.
Even Messiah?
You will have to see. But do not expect Messiah to arrive in Jerusalem on a tall horse carrying weapons. And he will be most pleased with those of you who are the peacemakers. This is my reason for being here.
I still don't understand. What is your reason for being here?
I'm telling you this because even though you are children and the elders in your life have lived longer, many times adults need the faith of children. And if you hold on to this faith really tightly, someday soon, you will understand all of what I'm saying to you. But you ask an important question, Abigail. What is my reason for being here? And the answer is for all of you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Isaiah.
I have loved spending this time with you. You are all so very special. And I hope that my next students ask the same questions you do and that they listen to my answers. But I suspect they do not have the understanding you do. And I hope that when the time comes, they will tell others about me, like you have.
Okay, before we were talking about what do you observe? How is Jesus physically relating to those children? He's exactly. He's talking on their level. Is he all bottled up and he's very open? I would say vulnerable, honest, right? Kids can sniff out a poser, right? Something we need to remember. It's okay. We won't maybe have all the answers. Luckily, you're not teaching like fifth grade or high school. They might come up with some interesting questions. Elementary is easy. Okay, from that standpoint, you're not going to get into super difficult subjects. Respectful, right? He was respectful of the children. He was listening to them. There was an exchange. He validated what they were saying. This is the role model. This is how our classes, longer the days of just lecturing, okay? And that's how these classes are structured, so that you have time to sit, no matter what their age, right? You're going to get a feel for what they know at their age, okay? Body language, comfort, ease, okay? I know the first day when they're all like, you know, you're going to be like, ah! It will go away. It will go away. Very invitational, listening, and facilitating an encounter. In this case, literally with Christ, right? But we can be Christ in that moment for those children in how we may be the only Christ that they see. Again, we don't know if they're going to church. We don't know how their family situation is, etc. Okay? So, again, back to Pope Francis, he said, neither proclaim it with a mute nor with a loudspeaker, but rather with their life, with gentleness and a new language and opening new ways. You have an opportunity to be creative going into your lessons, and which I'm going to say structured because we give you an outline, but it also has room for a lot of creativity. Pray about it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm big Christian music fan. I'm like, oh my gosh, KSBJ again. You know, like there's nothing else ever on in my car. And you'd be surprised. Things will just come to you, right, about what might be important or what might relate to the lesson that's coming up. So be open, open-hearted, open in prayer, whatever your devotion is, so that, you know, God will put it on your heart, and it never fails. Just like getting you all here, God always provides exactly. I mean, I will just attest to that. I've been doing this for, I don't know, 13 years or something, 14, I don't know how many. God always provides, and we always get that, oh, anxiety, oh my gosh, and, you know, but I'm a type A personality. He's trying to teach me to chill out, right? Wait till the last minute. Yeah, the last day. Okay, great. Yeah, so let's just listen to our hearts, okay? So, you know, our prayer for each of you this year is that the children entrusted to your care will meet the real Jesus as a result of their time spent in class with you and the other learners. We're here to facilitate an encounter with Jesus. And as Pope Francis says, this comes through the testimony of your life as much as or more than the words or the teachings that you say, okay? You're going to run into these kids at HEB, and they're going to go, oh! At Mass, my daughter used to complain. She's like, you've groupies, Mom. These kids are like coming up to you. I'm like, yeah, it's sweet though. They know who you are and they want to say hi. So by integrating your faith into your life and bringing that into the classroom, you really have the capability of making a huge impact on the child. But for me, the win is, I used to get offended when so much attention was paid towards adult faith formation, right? I'm like, what about CC? We're over here, you know? But then it occurred to me, you can't have well-formed children without well-formed parents, right? Catholicism is a living, breathing faith that we have to practice. And if it's not being instilled or modeled at home, it could be, right, just falling on concrete for now. We don't know what God will do with that. Okay. So we're going to get into it. A lot of you that are new, I think in Evite, and if you got it, not the Evite, the Sign Up Genius, if you got it earlier than like 2 days ago, it did have some links in there that kind of explain how the curriculum, and when we say curriculum, we're not talking about a particular book. You know, the Archdiocese gives us a lot of leeway of using approved materials, so you might go to another parish that uses a different textbook series, but they're still using the framework, okay? It's like the skeleton of what we do, and everybody should be on the same page. So if you're, you know, a learner in your class moved to the Woodlands mid-year and started at St. Anthony of Padua, they should be in about the same place in terms of what they're talking about. So it's not random at all. It's very deliberate. It took them, I think, 10 years to kind of get that going. They brought in educators, which was very smart because, you know, the Catholic Church wasn't sticking. Textbooks are written with a lot of material, and not that it's not important, but it wasn't sticking, right? We were overwhelming people. So they really narrowed it down to what the takeaways should be, okay? So we're going to talk quickly about the four Ps, prayer, which we kind of talked about a little bit, planning, procedures, and personal growth. So for prayer, again, we talked about listening to your heart. Everybody in this room, if I talk to each of you, somebody has a favorite devotion, right? Or something that is really meaningful to them. We start every class in prayer. We'll start here in Marion Hall. We'll sing that song for the first part of the semester, and we'll have a prayer because it's always good to have the children practice the Hail Mary, practice the Our Father, things that they should know at certain ages. And there is a list in your folders about common prayers and practices by age. It's kind of interesting because it's like, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Like, probably not. You have supplies, not necessarily those, but each classroom has a battery-operated candle. Please no live flames. We can't have live flames. And then you have a crucifix, and you have a cloth that's purple on one side and green on the other. Why do you think that would be? Ordinary time versus, you know, typically we have lessons on Advent. Lent, yeah, okay. So whatever your devotion, whatever your prayer, incorporate that in the classroom. I mean, we have suggestions, but introduce your learners to something that is, like, very near and dear to your heart. That's all fine. That's good. For me, music says a lot. And again, you're always beginning and ending. I want to, when I go around and see the classrooms, I want to see in your rooms. If you look at the back there under that screen, each of the upstairs rooms has a credenza table where you can set up the items for prayer table. I like to have kids physically, again, movement, right? They're not going to sit there for an hour and 15 minutes. They need to be moving. I think the rule of thumb is for every year of age, so like a five-year-old, they can maybe, I don't know, maybe not anymore. You guys could probably tell me, can they even make it 5 minutes without moving? Okay, so you have to think about that. It's not about you lecturing the whole time. You need to mix it up. But bring them up, have them say a prayer, have them lead the intentions. You'll hear about their goldfish that died, or their, you know, there's going to be, but they're speaking from the heart, right? And that's what's important. They need to learn about not only memorized prayer, but also spontaneous prayer. So incorporate whatever you want. The upstairs classrooms have technology. There is a TV. It's not a smart TV, but it is connected to a Chromebox. You could find meditations, music, you know, whatever works. When you get into the dynamics of your class, every year it's different. Some kids, maybe they hate crafts, but somebody likes music. We have the oratory. Does everybody know where the... Actually, that's on your scavenger hunt later. The oratory is a great space that's available to us during CCE. And we had a class last year, a young man just really, really struggled with ADHD. Even though he was on medication, he just always struggled, but he was really bright. And they took a trip into the oratory and spent some time in there, and he literally just, like, laid on the floor and was in this meditative state. His catechist couldn't believe it. It just brought him such peace to be in that environment. So it's okay to mix it up a little. Just let us know what you're doing, okay? So we can move around. So the Archdiocese really made a switch. Like I said, it was promulgated in 2013, but it was probably about 10 years leading up to it. Time for a paradigm shift. This is the planning portion, and when I think about planning, I think about lesson plans. The good news is we've written them for you. The beauty of COVID, if there could be lemonade from all that, was we shut down. We had parents at home who had signed up for CCE, and we wrote lesson plans because I personally knew they'd be jumping into the river if they thought they had to do it on their own. So we came up with lesson plans that were used for home study that year and then eventually were incorporated into the classrooms. And it follows a rollout that the Archdiocese prefers, and it taps on a lot of educational components, best practices, okay, in teaching or in educating about the faith. So the good news is we have those for you. You don't have to spend hours and hours on end preparing your own lesson plan. And if you are doing that, I would be cautious because we have a promulgated takeaway, as I'm going to call it, an essential question each week that we need to be focusing on. And that's really not negotiable. We need to stay in line with the structure of the framework, okay, to be compliant. All right, so we've moved from an instructional or delivery paradigm in which an instructor transfers knowledge to students by sitting there just lecturing like I'm doing to you right now. And the result is, now we have you all more as a coach in that kind of a capacity, okay? Change can be good, and I would dare say that the kids enjoy it more, okay? We don't want them to feel like this is coming to school, okay? And that's a real balance for us, right? You don't want them, we still have to monitor behavior, and certain things are not appropriate in any situation, but we do try to let them have fun, be heard, speak, but we have to be cautious, and we'll get into some safety things in a little bit. All right, so the paradigm shift has happened, and I'm not going to go through all of this. Most of you who are returning, they did a really fantastic job as far as I'm concerned. They went and they really distilled down catechesis. If you're familiar with the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the big green book, if you own one, it's also online. They distilled the four pillars of the catechism into a very, it makes a lot of sense how it rolls out. So all of our content is divided into four units. The four unit is, who is Jesus Christ? Okay, that's your belief system. Okay, what do we know about Jesus' life on earth? And what does Jesus teach us about God the Father? And then we roll into the second unit where we talk about how we practice our faith, the liturgical life, celebrating the sacraments. We talk about how prayer, going to Mass, celebrating the sacraments help us to grow deeper in love. Right? Forming that relationship with Jesus. And then the third unit, and if you're paying attention, there's unit one, who is Jesus Christ? Okay. There's unit two, how do we get to know and love Jesus? We talk about prayer, Mass, and the sacraments. That's basically our first semester. In the second semester, we go into, you know, how does Jesus teach us to live a moral life? So we get into God's laws, which are what? The Ten Commandments. Conscience formation, how the Holy Spirit guides us. And then we do a couple special lessons. One is on the circle of grace, which is the children's safety training. You know how you all had to do safe environment training to be in the classroom? Well, we also want to make sure that the children have exposure to things and understand how things that permeate their circle of grace can be good or bad. And that can be touch, it can be bad language, it can be any kind of thing. Somebody swearing at them, what they're watching on TV or on the internet, all those things. We talk about it in an age-appropriate way, okay? And then we talk about the dignity of the human person and how that relates to especially racism and what the church's position is about that being sinful. Okay, and then in the last unit, we talk about missionary disciples. For me, that's the so what of the whole thing, right? Because we want to know, we want to make disciples of Christ. We want people to engage in the world. It's not just about feeding myself and what I learn, right? It's about going out into the world and sharing that joy and that love. We talk about vocations, which it's not just about ordained or being clergy or a nun. It's about choosing marriage, right? Choosing the single life and how that looks in practice. Building up the church. Okay, so we have a really big year, but it's all distilled down to one takeaway each week. That's called an essential question. And so there is a video on it. I'm not going to play it tonight. I will post this if you want to go look at it. It really just explains, An essential question doesn't have a yes, no answer, okay? It's meant to be reflective and to help anybody process it and then figure out, like, how is this relevant or important to me? You know, they say the biggest distance in the human body is from the head to the heart, right? It might not be, it's maybe 18 inches, but that could be a huge bridge, a huge gap to overcome. And it's great to have an understanding and a knowledge about the faith, but that's not going to keep us in the faith, okay? So it's really important that our kids understand why we do what we do as Catholics. I moved here years ago from the Midwest. When I was growing up, you were either Catholic, Lutheran, or Jewish. That was it. I didn't know what a Methodist was or what a Baptist was or any of the Protestant denominations. And when we moved here, we were at Dollar Tree shopping for some stuff for probably Family Faith or CCE. And my daughter's chatting up the person behind us, and she's like, "What is your mom buying? All that stuff." They didn't like to see me come because I would clear out their on their shelves. And, oh, she's, you know, works at the church and blah, blah, blah. Innocent little, you know, what church does she work at? St. Lawrence Catholic Church. And the person just turned to my daughter and said, "Oh, you're not Christian. Excuse me? Like, aren't we the original Christians?" So it confused her, right? And so I think here, I didn't grow up discussing faith. We went to Mass every Sunday. We did our thing. There wasn't a lot of discussion about it, obviously, in CCD. Kumbaya. So when I came here, having to defend, so apologetics, defending the faith. And I think if our kids are equipped better to understand why we do the things we do, what are the myths about Catholicism, they're going to be well equipped, right, to deal with anybody that may have... especially when they go to college, y'all. I don't know how old your kids are, but even if they go to a Catholic college, that's not necessarily a guarantee, okay? So you are going to be a coach or a facilitator and basically be in accompaniment. I'm going to go through kind of past this. If you look at the tasks of catechesis, knowledge of the faith, which is like the creed, liturgical life, sacraments, and attending Mass, moral formation, that's our Unit 3, and prayer is lumped in with liturgical life, and then communal life and missionary spirit. And again, that last missionary spirit is the evangelization piece, right? Re-evangelizing the world. And this is how it breaks down into our weekly lessons. And again, just to come to... each week, you have an essential question, okay? These posters, guess what? They're in your classrooms, in your cabinets. You know how many people, like, that's why we have a scavenger hunt. At the end of this, I'm going to turn you loose, and I want you to go find the stuff. Because when you come and tell me, there's no Bibles in my classroom. There's no EQ posters in my classroom. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Molly and I just, like, roll in our eyes because everything you need is there. You need to use them, okay? It's just one added thing. Again, it gives you a visual. It gives the children, the EQ is a cognitive bookend. Think about that. If they can articulate that EQ, like in this instance, who is Jesus Christ? What do I know about the life of Jesus on earth? Well, that may be different depending on the age of the child. In fifth grade, you might be talking about, right, the Paschal sacrifice. You know, in first or second, you might be talking about his birth in a manger, right? So, but it is something that if they can articulate an answer to it, you've been successful, okay? And again, making that connection, why is this important to me and to my life, all right? So EQ, 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 EQ. That's your big thing. And again, if you're doing some of your own stuff on the side, that's absolutely fine. But we really, this is a promulgated format that we need to be following. Okay. And the way it's written, there's a whole lot of flexibility. It's scripted in that you could just present what's in the lesson plan and you'd be good. You'd be done. I see some of you shaking your head. Or if you're super creative or you've got other ideas, go for it. And if you find some great stuff, let us know. We'll incorporate it. Each weekly lesson plan has supplemental resources. It's all hyperlinked. You can get to these lesson plans in your classroom. So please, we love, 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 love new ideas. If it's working with the kids, right? It's important. I'm not going to play that. I will let you look at that yourself, talking about essential questions. So these are your lesson schedules. You each have one in, I think it's on the left-hand side of your folder. Just one thing to bear in mind. I know we have our kindergartner catechist here. Technically, in the framework scenario, kindergarten is part of preschool. Okay, so there is a separate set of EQs that generally follow the breakdown of the four units, but within the units, they may repeat the same EQ over and over again, right? 2 to 3 times in some cases, okay? So your lesson plans are a little bit different. They can be accessed by going to the catechist webpage and then jumping off to the kindergarten lesson plans. Something else that's been incorporated with kindergarten is each week they use some sort of a manipulative. And this is, you know, this is a little church set that Lisa, God love her, wrote lesson plans that incorporate these manipulatives. We're trying to elevate that a little bit. I've bought a bunch of new stuff this summer, so hopefully you'll be pleased with some of the new things that we're going to incorporate in the classroom. But they're pre-readers many times. Even in first grade, we have found after COVID, sometimes they're not reading yet, okay? So keep in mind the book, the textbook. We have to have a textbook, but it's a supplemental resource. It's not the driving force of your class. What's the driving force is, at some point in your lesson, the content in the textbook that's assigned here needs to be covered. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to sit around the table and read the content. There's many, many ways to deliver that content. You're responsible for delivering the content, okay? And if that's not reading it, and some kids aren't comfortable going around the class reading, taking turns, right? We have to listen to our learners. Some have dyslexia, all that kind of stuff. So each week, you've got a goal, and we'll be communicating with you. So I tend to communicate the week prior to a lesson coming up. You will get an email. We're going to get into communication in a minute. But I will warn you, we use Flocknote. The only way to communicate with this many people without having my email being identified as spam is through Flocknote. It has its limitations, and it's frustrating. But if you've got anything on your end that the data's not matching up, maybe you're using your email address kind of by proxy for one of your minor children, it won't let us make changes on this end. And so it gets very confusing, and sometimes it won't deliver your messages. So we'll talk about that a little more in a minute. But it won't be a surprise. These are all posted already on the Catechist webpage and the Kinder webpage. If you're one of those overachievers and you want to start planning all your lessons for the semester, they're all there. You can start looking at them now, looking at the resources. Up to you, okay? It's all out there, but each week I'm pacing you and reminding you. And also, each lesson plan starts with a little bit of catechist formation with some videos. How many have heard of Father Mike Schmitz? Everybody knows Father Mike, right? We use Bishop Barron, we use Father Mike, very relatable videos to help you kind of get in the mindset of what we're trying to accomplish in the class. You all should have these in your folder on the left-hand side. This is what a lesson plan, the first page, looks like. It looks like a lot. It might be 7 to 10 pages. Just glance through it. It's the identical rollout every single week. You'll get the feel of the flow of it. Basically, in the beginning, it's relating to Scripture. It's inviting the kids in, trying to figure out what they already know. Those kids that are in your class, let's say you're teaching third or fourth grade, some of the kids may have already celebrated their first sacraments. Others may just be coming into CCE for the first time, right? We're seeing later ages for kids. I think they had about 25 or 30 kids last year in middle school that were receiving their first sacraments. So your classes are not broken up based on those have had CCE previously and those have not, okay? And it's about, you know, meeting everybody where they're at. And you'll be able to tell. I get questions all the time. It doesn't look like so-and-so has ever, you know, or the child will tell you, maybe they haven't been baptized yet. Maybe they're in their foundational year of faith formation so that they can go into the OCIA program in the following year. So you're going to get all kinds of kids at different levels, okay? So you want to start out a lesson by talking to them and trying to figure out, that's kind of the engage, right? We've got these engage, explore, the essential question, explaining, using the textbook content, extending it, coming, you know, there's suggestions on a craft or a video, and you'll figure out what your learners like and what they don't like, right? There's different ways that we all learn. Everybody learns differently, so some things may work better than others. That's the QR code to get to the Catechist webpage. It's also, if you get to stlawrence.org, go to education, elementary, you can get to the Catechist page that way, okay? Very easy. And this is how you get from the Catechist page to where the kindergarten lessons are. It's a subpage of the Catechist page. And all your lesson plans and your schedule for the year are listed there. But again, you have a copy in your folder. All right, so resources. We've talked about lesson plans. Your textbooks remain in the class. We will have those in the classrooms. They're not there yet. We'll have them in the class by the first day of class. Now, bear in mind that these are shared spaces. So in any given room, you might have a CCE class for second grade on Tuesday and another one on Wednesday. So they will be labeled with your names, the catechist names, and the number of your class. Has anybody figured out our coding system? How many of you have a grade level and then it says JK, L, 2J, 3K, 4K, right? All JK, L means is that it's a Tuesday class. The number is the grade you're teaching, and then we start with the letter J for the first second grade class. The next second grade class gets a K, so 2J, 2K. Same thing on Wednesdays, but we start with the letter S, okay? So that's our code, our shorthand for being able to know what classes are on which days, okay? In the center portion of your folders, we have given you the first 2 weeks lesson plan outlines, okay? We've given you hard copies. What I will tell you, I'm on a mission to save the trees, so we will not automatically, we're doing that just for the first 2 weeks for you to get you going. You can get to all the lesson plans either through the link in my email, by going to the Catechist webpage, or in class, and we're going to talk about technology in a minute, you can pull up the St. Lawrence website and open the lesson plan. Jojo, you do that sometimes, don't you? You open up the lesson plan? Yeah. All those resources are hyperlinked, okay? So there's a lot of ways to get to the lesson plan. Some people like a hard copy. If you would like a hard copy moving forward, we have a process for you requesting that, but we're not going to automatically make 75 copies of each week's lesson plan. That said, for kindergarten, you guys will get a lesson plan in your bin every week because you don't have ready access to an electronic device. Those TVs that you have access to are on carts that have to be pulled in. Each classroom on the 100 level does not have, and the first graders too, okay? So let us know if you decide you want to have copies. technology in the classrooms. Not the first week. We told them to hold off, but our IT guys will be here in week two. Okay, so that would be the 23rd, 24th, your second week's lesson. If you're interested in using the technology, Ray, Brian, or Greg, I guess, would be here. They'll probably tag team. Molly and I know how to use it, too. So it's really nice. I mean, you can log on, you can get to the internet, you can play videos, and if you can launch anything from the lesson plan outlines that we have. So prayer table items, they're not going to, you have a crucifix, a candle, and we have a little Advent wreath, and then we also have the cloths. Kindergartners and first grades, if you guys have been with us a while, I think when we opened the Ave Maria Center, we had prayer bags. So for kinder, we have created a guardian angel's prayer bag. It's got a little stuffy in it of an angel. It's got a guardian angel prayer book and some other things. Each class will have one, and it's up to you if you want to send it home with a child each week. You could take turns, alternate, and ask them to bring it back. It's really intended for the families to sit down, help their kids learn the guardian angel prayer. For those of you that are in first grade, we're going to do the same thing, but with the rosary bags. We did the Ave Maria bags years ago. We've resurrected those. So the same thing. You can use it as a reward system. You can use it however you'd like. I know some will go missing, or they won't be found until the end of the year in somebody's, you know, trunk of their car or whatever. But it's something that you can kind of explain about reverence and how to take care of things, and it's an activity for the families. And then you can decide, depending on how many kids in your class, if they keep it 2 weeks, you might not see it again. So maybe take it home, use it, and bring it back. Okay? So that should be fun. All right. So let's see. In the workroom, which is on your scavenger hunt, so if you've never been there, when you come each week, we have resources laid out for you, okay? In each lesson plan outline, there might be some videos, DVDs, or picture books, or some worksheets and things that we mention to use your, to extend your lesson. We have those out when you're arriving to pull your class bin. And you'll have things for this week, and things for the following week, okay? So please plan ahead. If you see something that you'd like to use the next week, we have a sign-out system. We also have a system for signing up to have copies of worksheets or whatever you want made. We'll make those, and they'll be in your bin for when you come the next week, okay? So we're always kind of looking ahead and trying to plan. If you have some time, anything in the Faith Formation workroom is fair game. There's a lot of old craft sets from Oriental Trading, from VBA, you know, all kinds of things in there. You can be as creative or not. You don't have to use any of it, but look around. You might find something that will all of a sudden stick with you and you want to incorporate in your class. Whatever you use, any of the resources that we have on the lesson plan outlines that are linked are approved. That includes the videos. Sometimes you might come across a video that is blocked because maybe the URL changed. If you run across that, let us know. I try to update those. Believe me, going through all those lesson plans every year, trying to update them and all the links, we try to catch most of that. But if you run across something, let us know. Please be sure to Catholicize anything, especially when we get into the Ten Commandments. There's great resources out there, and I'll look at it. I'm like, oh, it's the wrong ordering, right? It's the Protestant ordering of the Ten Commandments. So please don't, you know, implement that in class, right? Here's another teachable moment. Why do we order things differently than the Protestant, you know, our Protestant brothers and sisters? One year we were cleaning things out and I ran across these beautiful bookmarks that were in one of my catechist bins, and they were gifts, obviously, for the children in the class. And I was looking at them, I'm like, oh, they were the Protestant ordering of the Ten Commandments. So be mindful. If you need help with that, let us know, and we can help walk you through that. Okay? All right. So if your brain now feels like this, it's time for a brain break. So I want you all to stand up. And this is one of the things, if you've been with us before, you know we do this with the kids, okay? They're going to have testing at school and be crazy and not want... We're going to play Jesus Says, okay? Just like Simon says. So again, I'm modeling for you tonight all the things you can do in class. It's okay to take a break, all right? All right, so Jesus says... Make the sign of the cross. Jesus says, hop on one foot, if you can. Jesus says, give a friend a gentle high five. Jesus says, spin in a circle. Do a jumping jack. Did Jesus say? I was trying to get you out of it. let's see. Jesus says, I don't know. Say Hail Mary. Jesus says, make the thunder stop. Okay, you can be seated. You know, there will be days that the kids have had testing in school. I will tell you, our 515 kiddos, some of them are probably coming straight from school. I mean, or picking up siblings or whatever. They haven't had dinner. We talk about it a little bit, really refrain from serving anything. We have so many allergies out there. It's dangerous. And if we have a student in your class who has an allergy that's been revealed, we'll let you know about it. Typically, we're not bringing food into the classrooms until the end of the year. We might have end of year celebration, and you'd be reaching out to the parents to make sure that whatever you decide is going to be served is okay for those students. Okay, so again, feel free to do anything to keep their attention if you can make it faith-based. Right? And again, I'm a big believer in object lessons and things that will stick, visual things that makes a big impact sometimes on kids. Okay, policies and procedures. Communication, again, flock note, flock note, flock note. If you're having trouble with flock note, I've created lists in flock note with all of your names by grade on the day you teach. It's been a while since I sent one initially before the whole team was in place. So I will send something again here in the next, probably early next week, just to touch base. If you're not receiving something from me, be concerned. We need to figure it out, okay? Because that's the only way I can communicate with everybody. I used to do it by Outlook, and then I started getting spit into spam, and it was a whole thing, okay? So we can talk about that if you're having problems. Generally, I will send an email every Monday morning with instructions for the following week, okay? All right, we need you to sign in weekly at the reception desk so we know you're here. That's also your attendance. So the roster's been finalized pretty much. Molly will put together a sign-in sheet. There'll be sheets for the Tuesday session, sheets for the Wednesday. It should have your name, last name, first name, in alphabetical order. A substitute would sign one of the back pages if a sub has to come in, okay? Pick up your class bin when you get here, okay? There's very few teams that are completely new. One of the things on your scavenger hunt is find the workroom. And when you go in the workroom, you're going to look to the left, and there are shelves with bins with those same class numbers on them. Right now, we don't have your lanyards in there yet, but there are a few supplies in there already, okay? If you're running late and you're not going to make it, we know life happens, okay? Trust me, an hour before CCE, I'm not sitting at my desk twiddling my thumbs. I mean, so an email is probably not going to get to me. I would suggest calling the AMC number, which is there. Did I put it there? Yeah. 281-265-5774. Ask the receptionist not to leave a message on my extension, but to please take a message and let us know, okay? Because that helps us. We cannot start a class until we have everybody in place. That's why we start here in Marion Hall. Because if we left it up to some parents, they would just go, they just want to drop them off in the porte-cochere, like kick them out the car, you know? Like sometimes we struggle with that. We have to chase after parents. They're expected to park, walk their children in, and connect with you. We always, always start in this room, okay? And then once everybody's here, we know the catechists are here, we send you upstairs. So we have that little buffer time when we're doing a prayer or the song. Last resort, you've got my cell number there. Please identify yourself. Hey, Joan. Like, yeah, who? Okay, like, I'm not making it. Please identify yourself. There's a lot of you and two of us, so we need to know, and we will try to figure things out, okay? If you have a planned absence, and some of you have already told me, I love that. I'm already making arrangements for those of you who have told me, okay? I can help. Right? Because anybody who takes your place has to be vetted. They have to have safe environment training. If they are leading or teaching the class, they have to be a confirmed Catholic. Okay? So sometimes the parents of your learners are a good resource. I tend to know which of the parents have been through training because I have lists of their training dates of people who have helped in the past. But if you know something ahead of time, we can figure it out. In very rare instances do we have to cancel a class, but that might be because of a last minute power outage. Can you say power outages? We had two in a row on Wednesday nights last year. It was crazy. So yeah, we try to reach out to the parents beforehand so that if we have to cancel, they know and don't make a trip for nothing. Shared spaces. We are not the only ones in these classrooms, okay? Upstairs, the 200-level rooms, we're using 14 of the 15 classrooms on Wednesday. And on Tuesday, we're using 2, 4, 6, 8, I believe. So these classrooms are used throughout the week, the weekend, by EDGE, Life Teen, Tuesday Morning Bible Study, all these different ministries, okay? Again, on your scavenger hunt, it shows you where to find your resources in a CCE-labeled cabinet, closet, or drawer, okay? That's not to say that other ministries aren't going to come in and might they need pens or they need whatever, and they're going to look for your stuff, okay? So please, I would not advise you to leave anything personal. There's really not much space up there anyway. If there's anything special maybe you want for your prayer table every week, keep it in your class bin, okay? And I'll talk about that in just a minute. Each class has a bin that's in the workroom. Some of them get really heavy, you guys. I worry about y'all trying to take them off the top shelf when they're like that. But that would be a good place to put it. We can't guarantee the safety of any of your personal items that might be in there, okay? General supplies are in the classroom, markers, crayons, prayer table items, Bibles, a soother station, okay? If you have a student in class, might be identified or not with some learning or, you know, struggling challenges, don't tell me there isn't one of these in your classroom, because there is, okay? It's not a toy box. It's not something to be played with. But if you need to use it for a child and need to have a conversation with them, call Molly or myself. We can come up. We can walk with the child. We can have them pick something out, and they need to understand. Some people just need a fidget, right? It doesn't mean, I will tell you, these kids are they might not look like they're paying attention, but they are. They can recite back. They might just be distracted because they need a fidget of some sort, and that's not that uncommon. It happens all the time. So you have these items in your classroom to use, and so if you get to that point, let us know, and we can help you with that. Don't forget they're there, because it helps. Sometimes a child just needs to reset. We can come get them, walk them around, maybe pick out a fidget, and explain to them and the other children, this is not a toy, okay? This is just to help Johnny focus in class. He needs just something to keep his hands busy. Okay, we have a lot of kids like that. Not a problem. Don't store any personal items. Leave no trace. Okay. Any of you who are in 100 level rooms, which is downstairs here, that is our weekday children's program, where the weekday children's program has children in Mother's Day Out every day of the week, except for the weekend, okay? So they leave, their kids are picked up, and we're coming into those classrooms. Those classrooms are curated for the teachers of that class, okay? They might have personal items in there. They're going to have stuff set up that I'm sure some of you who have taught first grade, I'm not going to lie to you, it's a challenge sometimes keeping your littles away from the stuff. Okay, they might have stations set up with different kinds of, you know, things, you know, make believe, you know, dress up, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so you really have to establish rules in the beginning about what's off limits and what's not. It can't be a free for all. They can't be emptying the cupboards and playing with all the toys. That's not our stuff. Okay, and believe me, we will hear about it, okay? All of the rooms have pictures, photographs, either on the outside of the wall or inside the space, of what the room should look like when you leave, okay? You're free to move furniture around, that's fine. Maybe it facilitates, you know, some discussion or whatnot, or you need to separate some children. That's all good, but you have to put it back the way you found it, because there'll be another group coming in, okay? Maybe not that night, but for sure the next day. So if you're in a 100-level room, we have learned sometimes you might want to come in a few minutes early and cover some things. I'm the biggest buyer of plastic disposable tablecloths from Dollar Tree, so we've got a lot of those. If you think you need those, you can even keep them in your class bin and just kind of cover things if you're just that concerned. But again, setting those guidelines and the rules, because where it may be difficult is if there's a child who attends weekday children's and they're very comfortable in that space, right? It might even be their classroom, and we can't have them going into all the stuff there, okay? Does that make sense? Yeah. And if you've been in scouting, you understand the leave no trace. We're going to clean up after ourselves. We're going to make sure that, you know, I'm not asking you to clean the rooms, but pick up your trash. You know, if we've had a celebration, bring the pizza boxes down, whatever. Okay. So, all right. Safety and security. Those of you who were with us last year, there were some weird things, I'm just going to say, going on here on campus. We had power outages. We had all kinds of things. The good news is that there is a security officer on campus for evening programming now. It was always the case at the school during the day, but when we switched over to evening programming, that wasn't the case until now. So thank you, parishioners. If you're a contributing parishioner, obviously that was a big enough concern just to have that presence here on campus. And we have somebody every day of the week now, whenever we have programming, okay? Safe environment training, that's the next level of security. All of you need to be safe environment cleared. That means taking the online training as well as the background check. When you checked in and signed in, I had listed, we had our parish coordinator just update in the last day. So maybe yours hasn't, you know, maybe background check hasn't gone through yet or whatever. We'll check again before CCE begins. But if you're still hanging out there, I won't be able to let you in the class on the first day of CCE if you haven't gotten the clearance, okay? So you might want to check that sign-in sheet and see if your name, our color printer went down today, or our copier. So it was going to be in red, but if you see needs training in the far right-hand column, I have not been able to yet confirm, okay, that you have been trained and cleared. Further, we have the hallways lock, okay? All of the hallways where we hold our classes will lock 15 minutes after a session begins. So that means access to the 100-level rooms through the weekday children's main door, and then there's two doors upstairs that get you into just for reference, over the courtyard, right, that courtyard space, there's a big U of classrooms, right? There's 15 classrooms, 200 to 215. Those are the CCE classrooms, okay? And those hallways accessing those rooms, that pod, that U, locks after 15 minutes. So it gives us enough time to do our opening prayer in here, send everybody upstairs and get situated. After that, the only people back there should be you all with the kids, okay? We don't let parents hang out. I've had some trying to bring their littles and play on the floor. No, it has to be cleared people up there, okay? We do have hallway monitors who have the ability to swipe and get in. They're also can help you if you need something, right? You forgot some supplies or something. But the only time a parent would be let in would be as if they're picking up early or dropping off late. 5 minutes before the session's over, those doors will automatically unlock. So you don't have parents standing at your window, you know, like, come on, you know, you need to be done. No, they will be let in, you know, about 5 minutes before, okay, and you might see them queuing up in the hallway because they do have to sign their children out, okay? There's a call button. Again, it's on your scavenger hunt. And I've had people say, no, there's no way. We can't reach you. Yes, you can. There is. It's not a two-way radio or anything, but there is a call button. So please look for that in your room. It will go directly to the receptionist. And we're all on walkie-talkie. They can alert us if you have an issue or a problem in your classroom. Okay. For kinder, we have the kids signed in here in Marion Hall. And then for all children, children are picked up in their classrooms, and a parent has to sign them out, or an adult guardian, okay? You'll get to know who the parents are. If mom says we're in a carpool, and, you know, it could be me or my neighbor or whatever, we need a note from them regarding that. If there's anything other than mom or dad and the guardian picking up, grandparents, whatever, that note needs to stay in your class bin. Okay, because if you're absent, whoever is responsible for, you know, transferring those children to their parents needs to be able to see that, okay? A lot of times I get emails 5 minutes before dismissal, you know, so-and-so can pick up my child. I'll print it off and get it to you so we know what we're doing, okay, and who we're releasing the children to. Circle of Grace annual curriculum. We talked a little bit about that, and we'll get to that in the spring. Basically, it is a way of helping the children have the words to be able to identify anything that permeates their circle of grace that's unhealthy. Okay, and like I said before, it could be bad touch. It could be watching, you know, inappropriate material. I mean, there's so much out there, right? It could be somebody swearing at them. It could be somebody smoking. You know, they've got this circle of grace around them where the Holy Spirit resides. And we try to teach them to listen to that, you know, that ick feeling. We all know it, right? Something just doesn't feel right. We need to. That's part of the training, where they understand that that is something that's not good for you. If you have a question, you need to say something, tell a trusted adult. So it's about helping them develop the means, but also empowering them to do that. One mom came to me, oh my gosh, my daughter said somebody was in the bathroom, a little boy was looking under the blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, so you sent your daughter in the public bathroom by herself? I mean, I understand it's the Ave Maria Center of St. Lawrence, but that bathroom at the front door, it's a public restroom. There are people who come in off the street to use it, right? So the little girl did what she should do. She said, Mom, I think there was a little boy with Mom in the stall next to, and he was, you know, just being silly. And she reported it to her mom, and she reported it to me, and that's great, but it was also a teachable moment to let her know, yes, we're a church, but this is that's public, okay? In the areas you're going to be with your children, there's a restroom assigned for children up there in the locked area, okay? Don't send them down there by themselves in groups of 10. I become the bathroom monitor during CCE. You'll usually see me sitting there, maybe come down, one of you bring two or three at a time. I will not let more than two boys in the bathroom at once. There's urinals in the whole, it's, you know, I don't have to tell you. So we need to be careful. By the same token, if you need to use the restroom, you shouldn't be going into one of those bathrooms where the children are assigned to go when they're in there. That's just a safe environment. It's for your protection as well as theirs. I'm not saying something's going to happen, but you don't want the possibility or the, right? So you're welcome to come out of the locked area, and you have maps in your folders, and go into one of the adult bathrooms up on the second floor. Of course, not leaving your children by themselves, but you can do that, okay? So just be mindful of those things. Also, when the hallways unlock 5 minutes before the end of CCE, parents are in the hallways. Many of them have just come from, I don't know, playing tennis, doing whatever, going to the grocery store. They're stopping in those bathrooms. So I would just ask, don't, if it's 5 minutes before the end of class, those kids can wait until mom or dad can take them to the bathroom. Don't send them down to the bathrooms, okay? It's just easier that way, unless it's an emergency, of course, okay? We have some youth volunteers. They're not an adult. They can't be left responsible for children, and they learn that in their own safe environment training. You know, sometimes they're mature, and we see them as being, you know, like another, you know, adult. They are helpers. We love having them in class, but they also have to be supervised, okay? And they have a different kind of set of rules that they have to follow. All right. Okay, we got through safety, security, action items. Again, I'm going to really, really stress, I know a lot of you have been in this building, you've been to the classrooms upstairs, that scavenger hunt that's on your, it's meant for you to go, there are things I know you have no idea where they are from an emergency standpoint, okay? I've been in this building since its inception, and I know some of you who are school teachers, we have never, because it's near impossible, because it's not just CCE in this building during CCE. There's adult classes meeting in those unsecured spaces. We've never had a fire drill, right? Can you imagine? Like, we just, given the things that have gone on in the last months, I need you to know where to go and what to do, okay? And that's twofold. That's physically seeing where those things are. On there, I think one of the things is a fire extinguisher, the nearest one to your classroom. Where's the nearest exit or the designated evacuation exit for you? I want you to physically walk it. Muscle memory, right, is important. Where's the fire extinguisher? Where's the defibrillator? Things like that, okay? I'm not saying we're going to be called into that, but if we have an event where we have to evacuate or get these kids, you know, to a safe space, we need to know what we're doing, okay? And the best way we can do that is by physically moving, okay? In the right side of your folder, under yellow, there's a yellow page there. There's an acknowledgement that you will have to sign and submit by the second week of CCE. Now, it has to do with the Catechist Handbook, okay? If I printed one of these for all of you, I'd kill a forest, right? It's on the Catechist webpage. And I'll follow up with you guys and I'll say, don't forget, you know, here's the link to the Catechist. Everything we've talked about, all of our protocols, our procedures, everything, this is the greatest resource, okay? And some of this stuff won't start making sense until you started moving into, and then all of a sudden the light bulb will go on, and these are great resources. We're here to answer questions too, but we want you to read through this because it also, you're required to sign off or acknowledge our communications policy is in here. We're not an EDGE or LIFE teen, so it doesn't affect us as much. We're generally communicating with the parents and not the minors directly. But that's a big no-no, communicating directly with the minors, okay? That's part of the communications policy. So I want you to go through this, and then in your folder under that yellow section, there's an acknowledgement page that you have to sign saying that you've read this and understand. You can always go back to that, The other big thing is the health and safety and environment policies and procedures. Again, that is also on the catechist webpage. This is a big document as well. What you do have, don't get worried, it's an open book test. It's going to take you through, where's my room? Where should I go in a weather-related emergency? Where should I go for evacuation? Those kinds of things, okay? So it's a quiz, but it's open book. You pull up the document on your, you know, on the St. Lawrence webpage. If you have struggles with that, let me know. We can get you a copy, but we're not going to give everybody a copy of the HSC. We probably will leave copies in your bins just to have it in, you know, a situation at the ready. But that's the other thing that you need to. And that's part of what going up there today and just looking, where is that exit route? You know, it will become, right? Again, muscle memory. Okay, that's all part of our security. You will receive a name tag lanyard. It'll be in your bin on the first day of class. Okay, and so I would suggest wearing that. Like my credentials here that I have, I leave them in the console of my car, just so you're coming in and the receptionist can identify you. They know who you are. Be sure to take accurate attendance. Okay. This is one of the class bins. It's just a dummy one, but it has in here what you'll find on the first day. It does not have your lanyards, but we have an attendance sheet. This one's from last year, okay? In general terms, kindergarten will have two. One is for check-in when they arrive, and the other is for attendance and then also sign out. But for you all, one side is... yes, A is absent, a check mark is here, okay? And then on the flip side, the parents are signing the child out, initialing them out for that day and time, okay? That gives us a record of who was here. And you signing in at the front desk gives us a record of maybe you were out of town, maybe we have a sub in your classroom. You know, these are all safe environment issues. If, God forbid, we had some sort of claim or something in the future, that had to be documented, it protects everybody, okay? So attendance, and Molly posts the attendance, so she has seen all kinds of things. She might write you little notes, you know. So that's in your bin. Every class bin has pencils. These are yours. Don't leave them in the classroom because every CCE class has their own set of pencils. We don't leave pencils up in the classrooms, just like we don't leave glue sticks, because any other ministry coming through, the stuff walks away, okay? We try to go up there frequently. If you see things are missing, generally you'll have crayons, scissors, markers, and a little bit of, like, office supplies, in addition to the prayer table stuff and also the stuff to operate the technology. That will stay in the classroom. Please don't grab the, you know, the candle and the crucifix and all that, because the next class coming into your room needs that as well, okay? If you are new to CCE, this is on classroom management for catechists. If you're a trained teacher, if I knew that you professionally were a teacher, I did not give one to you. We tended to give them to our new teams who maybe have not been in the classroom recently or in a long time, so that's at your disposal, and we'll have follow-ups on classroom management techniques. Miss Tammy back there is our expert, and she's recorded some stuff for us. We also have a Bible timeline chart. Okay, our first lesson after the first night is a meet and greet. Okay, it's getting to know you, just doing some fun activities, learning each other's names. You need to plan. It's a fun night. Then the next week, week two, we talk about Bible literacy. Why and how should Catholics read the Bible? Because everything we do should be grounded in Scripture. Also in your bin, I need like triple magnification to read it, but this is a great resource. It basically looks scripturally at all the things that make us Catholic. And by the same token, it looks at apologetically when someone says, where's that in the Bible? Right? we can point to, I mean, think about it, Mass is all scripture, it's all from the Bible. There's just so many myths and misconceptions out there about our faith, all right? So those are the things you'll have in your bin. Your textbooks will be placed in the classroom, in the CCE cabinet space, with your name, your partner's name, and your class number, okay? Those need to stay in the classroom, as I said. If you send them home, we probably will never see them again. Okay. Please watch for cell phone usage. We had, you know, our fifth graders are practicing to be tweens, and we had a few incidences last year. Actually, sitting in here in Marion Hall, and it was brought to my attention, there was a young man in the back, I think he was a fifth grader, and nobody really was, like, tuned in, but he had, like, a circle of kids around him, and his phone was showing something. I mean, talk about giving me pause and concern, right? The last thing we need is for, where'd you learn that? Where'd you see that? At CCE, right? It's all of our jobs, and many of you who have kids in school understand they're not supposed to have phones at school, so we're piggying back off of that. These kids should not be pulling out phones. I know it's frustrating with the watches that are devices and things. I mean, those distractions are just not necessary if a child needs to contact a parent or if we need to do that. But if you see a phone, you have permission to pick it up. The parents will be told this and return to the child at the end. We're not gonna do that. For us, it's a little bit easier to control because not many of our elementary kids have phones. Middle school, I don't know, you couldn't pay me enough to, I'm not there. All right, so watch for cell phone usage. Report injuries, concerning situations as we move into Circle of Grace and we're talking about certain things, even when you're talking about Ten Commandments. Understand our reporting requirements. If any of you, you know, if you're in a school and a teacher is told something that's of concern, we might have reportable things. I've never personally had to do that. Here, I've had a couple of kids, oh, Miss Joan, I have to tell you something. I'm like, no, please, no. But it was, my big brother was mean to me, you know. I'm like, oh, okay. It wasn't anything. But, of course, the children's safety is our priority. And it could, something could come out in a class. And so involve myself or Molly. The kid who won't sit in his chair and is rocking back and forth, I will guarantee you he's going to fall and clunk his head. We've had that happen. You tell him no, and they still do. So we've had some incidents, right, Victoria? Where are you? We get all kinds of things. And so we just have to report to myself or Molly. We have to write an incident report. Never leave your children unattended, at least one adult in the classroom, for a whole lot of reasons. If you have the computer open with access to the internet, these kids are smarter than us. I mean, let's just face it, right? They'll find something to show. Well, you're not there. I mean, you know, so it's safety, and it takes all of us, all of our eyes, okay? So if you see something, say something from a parent, not even a parent, an adult. If you see someone, we've had these situations too, where someone's just out of place. They don't have a child in the program, and they're just hanging out. You know, I think we probably, Sylvia, you and I see a lot of that even during the day on campus. It, you know, if we see something, better safe than sorry. And God bless Molly, her husband's a police detective, and she has trained me to be super, you know, like tuned in and vigilant on that. So sometimes, I'm not going to say overboard, but we are like, you know, like we've seen people come in with backpacks that just didn't look, you know, you just have to be, unfortunately, really aware of those things, okay? All right, I want to get you out of here. Personal growth, any of you who have been at St. Lawrence for any amount of time, you know we've got beautiful programs here. We've got a very flourishing adult faith formation, ministries, something for everybody. How many have been to Heart of Worship? I'm going to plug Heart of Worship. It's one of the most amazing days that you can commit to, I think, is it February? Yeah, this year. I mean, in 2026, I don't have the Yeah, I think it is, actually. So please, you know, if you have time, there's a lot of things you can do online through the Archdiocese, through the Capernaum program. It's, you can take classes. You can work towards certifications. If you're interested in something, let me know. We even have a little money in our budget to be able to support you in some of those endeavors. And we're not going to send you to Harvard, but, you know, you could take an online class for $10, right? So let me know, because you guys, that's how I started. I mean, you just don't know until God puts that on your heart, okay? I've talked a lot, and yeah, I'm overwhelmed, so no, I'm not. But it's second nature to me, so if something doesn't make sense, we can meet, we can sit down, we can go through it. It will all begin to make sense. I think any of you have been through a year now and trusted us, hopefully, and it came back, so I'm hoping that's a good sign. You know that we're here to support you and to help you, and we don't want you to feel, you know, like you're unsupported. The worst thing that can happen in the world is at the end of the year, because I had this happen when I coordinated Family Faith, one of the catechists came up and slammed his book down. He was like, I will never do that again. I'm like, you never once communicate, you know, like we try to check in with you, check in classrooms, that kind of thing. But I will tell you, we've had some challenges with kids. There have been times last year where I was stuck in a class for the whole time. I'm not able to circulate and do things because there might have been someone who was just out of sorts or having an issue and needed some additional one-on-one. And so that said, if a child has been identified with any kind of challenges, I mean, it's cognitive, physical, whatever, if it's something new, you know, a child that we don't know well, maybe they're on the spectrum, but they receive special ed services at school, we can't provide one-on-one. So we invite the parents in, right, to help. And we've got some beautiful parents who are willing to do that. So those kids will be in your class. You know, if you have three in some of your classes, one of them might be what we call like a mentor buddy, okay? And so that parent is dedicated to helping their child acclimate and transition and stay directed. And if that's satisfied, they can help you too, but they're not there to really help facilitate the class, if that makes sense. You will receive in your bin a red folder if you have kids in your class with any kind of identified special need. That could be a peanut allergy. I mean, we're using that very broadly, okay? Just trying to give you a heads up information. I spent the summer reaching out to parents, trying to see what's helpful to their children in a learning situation, and if they shared any comments. Some of the littles, it's hard because they're not fully integrated into school yet. Maybe some of the diagnoses aren't complete, but I tried to put that. You'll get all those comments. Okay, so if you have questions, if you have concerns, I have certain ones that I know I had to have maybe a further discussion with some of the catechists, but they've been very intentionally placed with people who are not rookies, right, who are not first year in, that kind of thing. But I will tell you, each class, you're going to have someone with ADHD, you're going to have someone with maybe dyslexia. I mean, it's very common. I mean, probably 30% of our kids, unfortunately, are challenged with something in the classroom, okay? So we can't duplicate what's being done at school in terms of accommodations, but we can help prepare you for whatever, you know, is necessary in the classroom. It might be as simple as this child's struggling, has dyslexia. Don't make them read in class. You know, we never want to force somebody to do something in class for a whole lot of reasons, okay? All right, so we're here to support you and get you through the year. Probably by like March, you're gonna go, oh my God, you know, like it's all gonna click, right? And then hopefully you'll come back the next year. Do please plan ahead, you know. You're not doing yourself a favor. I know some of us, especially at 5:15, you might just be rolling in. I can't release your class from this room unless you're here, okay? Probably 10 minutes before the start of a session, we're patrolling that workroom and we're going through checking bins. whose bins have been picked up and whose aren't. That's your communication to me that you're here, okay? If that bin is still there and it's 5 minutes before the session begins, we might be texting or reaching out to make sure, okay? Because again, your class will sit here. I can't send them up to the class. I wish I could be in every class. I wish I could jump in for you, but with the numbers of people, that's just not possible, okay? If you have a middle school child of your own and you're teaching on Wednesday, because that makes sense, right? Because Edge comes in right behind us. Some changes, the library is not supervised any longer, okay? So you would need to keep your middle school child with you in your class teaching. They are not allowed to be sitting out in the cafe. They can't be in the library. Again, it's not accountability. It's about what if there's an emergency? Nobody knows this child is in the building, right? They need to be with their parent. And so that's a big change for some of us. Again, don't send the kids off to restroom breaks and water breaks in large groups. And don't leave them in the care of another catechist and leave the building without letting us know. That would be a problem, okay? For portable TVs, which are in the 100 level rooms or on rolling carts, you all kind of share those, and so you don't have a TV in each of your individual classrooms, but we can coordinate that if you decide you want to watch a video or anything like that, okay? All right, let's go ahead and end in prayer. These are Beatitudes for catechists. If you would please stand. And I know I talked very fast. I should probably ask, are there any questions? Or are you just like, no, I want to get out of here. Please reach out. I am out the 1st through the 8th, okay? We do not start classes till the 16th. There's plenty of us time for us to connect. I'm here this week, next week, and then I'll be gone. So I'm happy to meet with you. Molly can meet with you. She'll be back. You know, we both won't be out at the same time. So if you have concerns, if you just want the lay of the land, if you just want to talk it through, we're here for you. Please, you know, come by or make an appointment, and we're happy to do that. Okay. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are the catechists who listen to their students, especially the ones with repeated questions, for they possess the ears of Christ. Blessed are the catechists who see the needs of their students, especially the ones unrecognized by others, for they possess the eyes of Christ. Blessed are the catechists who speak kindly to their students, especially to the ones without positive motivation. They possess the mouth of Christ. Blessed are the catechists who gently touch their students, especially the ones who feel the strings of home violence, for they possess the hands of Christ. Blessed are the catechists who think prayerfully of their students, especially those who don't know God, for they possess the mind of Christ. Blessed are the catechists who show love to their students, especially the ones with unlovable traits, for they possess the heart of Christ. Blessed are the catechists who walk patiently with their students, especially the ones lacking spiritual guidance, for they possess the feet of Christ. Blessed are the catechists who persevere in their faith-sharing ministry, especially when their efforts seem in vain, for they possess the healing presence of Christ, and theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so where do I find the workroom, Marion Hall? If you don't know where that is, you're in big trouble, because that's where we're sitting right now. Okay. Your classrooms, go take a peek. They're accessible to you. I'm going to probably go down to 110 because it's a little different accessing your materials and things down there. So in a minute, I'll go down there. Hold up your scavenger hunt game, whatever, boards, okay? I can't stress this enough. There's a lot of things on there that if you've been here before, you're like, I know where that is. If I get a question from you, where are the Bibles in the classroom? Why don't I have Bibles in the classroom? Why don't I have crayons in the classroom? I'm going to go, eh. The bigger things for me, okay, are the safety items. I want you to walk it if you are able to. And get a feel for where those things are. If you have a pen, mark off. I could make you put your names on them and turn them in, right? No, I'm not going to do that. Okay. All right, you guys. That's what it looks like. You have a map on the left-hand side of your folder, okay? It shows where all your classrooms are. And that's it, okay? Thank you all. We'll see you soon. We begin on September 16th and 17th, so don't all plan a vacation now for that week, okay? Because I'd be really in big trouble. Okay, and those items on the side with the yellow, you need to return those by the second week of class. God bless you all. Thank you. Amen.